You know what I've got?
I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage.
Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
And the Oscar goes to
Oppenheimer.
The Nerd Show.
Oh, the Nerd Show. Wait, were we nominated? I don't know if we were nominated.
Oh.
I didn't get an invite to attend because I think all the attendees get, or all of the nominees get invited, and I didn't get an invite. Did you?
I didn't.
Oh, I thought maybe you went on your own.
Also,
we're a radio show, and we weren't shown in theaters.
Okay, well, now you both are just putting up a lot of barriers on... The fake Oscar I just awarded us. You guys both get Oscar the Grouch Awards now.
Oh, I see how it is.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Bad joke alert. Bad joke alert.
That wasn't even...
Apologize immediately. Go Broncos.
Well, welcome to the Nerd Show.
Yeah, there we go.
The week after the Oscars, we might talk a little bit about that later on. We've got some Bad Batch. We've got... other nerdy things, Halo, Dune, maybe.
Dune Part 2.
But we've got Scott Magerflesh to my right, Micah Kilpatrick behind the glass, and myself, Nick Kenny, also known as...
Darth Monger.
Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
And here we are.
And this is us.
Boy, this is like 3 weeks in a row of the Nerd Show.
I know. Not me, because I was out of town last week, and I apologize for missing.
But. That's all right. I mean, well, if we're going to miss, and it's good that we have...
We had Darth Emilio.
Yeah, capable. Emilio did a great job.
We always have capable guests whenever
yes.
one of us can't make it. We would flounder without Micah. We don't know how to
do that's,
it.
Yeah, that's the part that we can't do without.
Yeah.
Micah is like the glue that holds us all together.
Yep.
Thank God I will be back for next week.
Yes.
Speaking of next week, I will be gone on Monday.
Hmm.
We'll have to figure that out. Normally, we would record on Mondays, folks.
We should do that, you know, off air.
Off air.
Yeah.
Well, folks, Bad Batch.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that usually in the first segment so far. And the first episode with Crosshair back in the mix. And when did he leave the Bad Batch? Was that episode one of the first... The first season?
No, it was the second season.
He left the Bad Batch?
Yeah, if you remember right, there was sort of like this split, and it might not be the very first episode of the second season. I don't know exactly, but I remember that it was kind of like they were all going to go off and do their thing, and, you know, it was the Empire was starting to take over, and Crosshair felt like they needed to do it, and so he stayed with the Empire and then didn't. And I thought it was very interesting in the most recent episode how they go back to the place where Crosshair basically turns on the Empire, because that's where he assassinated the officer.
Yeah.
It was in that same place. And we get to see him a little bit more human when he kind of goes inside and he's picking up the helmets. He's kind of paying a little homage and tribute to them in that regard. And he never talks about it with any of the other members of the Bad Batch, but you can see that he's struggling with coming to grips of, you know, what he did and where he's been and kind of where he's at now. So
what a great character arc for Crosshair. Always been a fun character. You always like the snipers, I think, in movies and TV series. I mean, if we go back to Saving Private Ryan, we all loved the sniper in that movie. And then what was it, Thin Red Line? Where was, I don't know. Snipers are just mysterious, and you always want one on your side when you're heading into battle. But, you know, clearly the most villain-like of the Bad Batch is Crosshair. But I love the story arc and how his character is developing and the relationship he has with Omega. And, you know, Wrecker said something of, well, Omega trusts him, so and I trust Omega.
Yeah.
And that was... She's still a child
compared
to them.
And... But we also saw that she's actually older than the clones. It was like, when she calls him little brother, I love that. It was like, perfect.
That was good.
Yeah.
I'm older than you, little brother.
Yeah.
That was, I did like that. But also, shout out to Dee Bradley Baker. He's voicing all the clones. He had for years in the Clone Wars, but he captures these four unique clones so well, you know, with Crosshair, with Hunter, with Wrecker, with Tech. He's phenomenal. Yeah. I love that they're getting.
Well, and he has Echo as well. And we will see, you know, Rex and some of the other ones as we get into this later in the season, most likely. So, yeah.
We're just so used to, you know, the very Roger, you know, mechanics of his voice work so far up until the Bad Batch. And I just love what he's doing. I think it's just helping to elevate each of the characters we have with the Bad Batch. But this season's excellent.
Yeah.
Just
it's good, and I feel like that they are doing all the right things to make it the final season. I mean, I really think that there's the possibility that you could run out of runway with this group. And we'd love to know what happens more, but feel like that eventually it's either going to get old or we're going to get repetitive or something. And so I like that we are doing something that seems to be very intentional. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out, you know, obviously Omega wants to go back to Mount Tantus and wants to free all of her clone brothers. And so there's still some work to be done, but we're not going to keep dragging this thing out. So,
well, and that's what the Clone Wars felt like to me. They had some incredible story arcs there. But when you have, what, 6 or 7 seasons of the Clone Wars where that happened in just a short window of a few years from Attack of the Clones to Revenge of the Sith, it just seemed like a lot of story and a lot of fluff that mathematically, did they ever have time off? How are they doing this? So I like that they're, as you said, intentional. They're not just creating episodes to create episodes. Of course, you could tell seasons worth of stories of them working for, you know, that frog lady.
Yeah.
You know, taking missions and being at risk and kind of the recipe you get with a lot of Marvel movies. But they're tying up. They're enhancing what we've seen in Mando with what we were introduced to with the return of Palpatine. We're talking about midichlorians and M-counts and stuff that we go back from with Moff Gideon. They're tying a lot into a cartoon, a kids show, which I absolutely love it, and I have no shame saying that. This is I don't know, if we're going for must watch series of Star Wars from live action to cartoon, I'd put this one pretty high up there of filling in a lot of gaps and holes.
They're doing some good stuff.
Certainly better than Book of Boba Fett, which was there.
Yeah.
It was. Although
it very much existed.
There were some great moments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those moments included Mando when he was riding the Rancor.
No. That was Boba. Boba's the one that rode the Rancor.
Right. Yep. Okay.
That was the best part of
Boba's story.
Yes.
With someone else.
You know, him coming out of the Sarlacc at the very beginning, him riding the Rancor, and him dropping the seismic charge on the Sarlacc. Those are like the three highs for Boba in that entire series. Everything else belongs to Grogu and Mando.
So. Yeah. Also the end credits where you knew, oh, it's all over now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still curious if that will pick up. There's a lot of interesting characters. I think as far as let him do his thing, Tatooine's under his control. Until especially during that timeline, we're not really worried about the Hutts, the cartels, or anything. Those have been pretty much eliminated and wiped out from the Empire. So we got that Empire threat, the resurgence of Thrawn. We've got the First Order being created. I'm not interested in smuggling in Tatooine at this point.
Although some people might be. And, you know, a couple fun little things I saw just in the last couple days. There's been some hints that there won't be a season 4 of Mando. One of the guys who plays Mando, plays Din Djarin under the helmet, has said that at this point in time, there's no news for a season 4, which I'm kind of bummed about. But something that is coming that'll be kind of fun next month is that Disney has announced that they are updating Star Tours.
Mm.
And there will be missions that will include Mando, Cassian, and Ahsoka.
Cassian.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Star Tours ride in 29 years.
Well, maybe, Micah, when you go to California next week, this week you'll get the chance.
Yeah.
You could go back and do it. You won't get to see the new adventures, but you will at least get to see some updated stuff.
I'm wondering if it's the same Star Tours as it was back when I was a kid.
It's not. I can tell you that. They have added and expanded the missions significantly.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're very different. They're very up to date. And
Mike is going to come back glowing of Star Wars.
Actually, I'm basically going to do whatever my niece and nephew want to do. So if they want to do Star Wars, fine. If they want to go to Disneyland Princess Park, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, you're a good uncle that way.
I do my best.
You do.
Although, to be the great uncle, this is where you take them under your wing and you show them
Star Trek.
And you start molding them now, just as if you were Palpatine himself.
Okay, so this is Star Trek The Next Generation. This is the best of all of them, but the OG is the original series. Now, the one you really want to avoid is the really dumb one. That's Discovery.
Well,
wow.
Going back to Mando, probably no season 4. There were rumors, and this is months ago when we didn't have a lot of consistency with the show because of the sports conflict, but that the next Mando feature would be a full movie.
Yes, and I think that is still on track, and I haven't heard anything to dissuade that or to counter that.
Is that the Mandoverse?
Yeah, okay. Sort of like the Mandoverse, kind of the culmination. So I think we'll see a second season of Ahsoka, and then I think we could see like a Mando film.
And is nothing else out there that would kind of tie into this? Ahsoka, Mando?
Not really in this timeline, because what we've got is we've got the Acolyte, we've got Skeleton Crew, we've got things that are taking place in a different time within the Star Wars universe.
So. Skeleton Crew's coming up soon.
Yeah, we're supposedly there was a trailer that was going to drop this week and have not seen that, so...
Is that going to be a May or late summer?
I had heard it could be April, but my guess is it'll probably be May the 4th.
Saturday this year.
That is a Saturday this
and
year.
The Kentucky Derby day. So
same as the Derby.
Trying to
so
encourage.
You can lose all your money and love Star Wars.
I hope there are Star Wars themed outfits for the entire Derby day everywhere.
That'd be fun.
I hope all the horses are named something Star Wars.
That'd well, cool. Stay tuned for more Nerd Show. We're glad to be back. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey guys, did you hear about the new product that they're coming out with for Star Wars? It's a cookie dough. Mando. I'm sorry. I do apologize for that one.
That one was terrible.
That was pretty awful.
Yeah.
Can we start over?
I don't know.
Oh, no. We're going with that.
That's just terrible.
That's an awful joke for the ages.
Yes. We were talking a little bit before, and I know Mike has not seen Dune Part 2 yet. Darth Emilio gave us a little snippet last week. Before we go into that, I love movies. I don't go to the movies enough, which is why I was inspired by you, Scott, to get the Cinemark pass, so it would force me to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I like them. It's just a timing thing. Anyway, there's movies you have to see in theater, and then there's like a cinematic experience, which you can probably count on, I don't know, one hand over, you know, ranking the best cinematic experiences you've had. It doesn't have to be about the movie, you know, but just the whole thing. And for me, Dune Part 2 was one of those. And maybe because we didn't get to see the first one in theaters, so it was pretty epic to have the sound, the cinematography, all that on the big screen, that kind of immersive type experience, or it was just a really good movie. But like you, that was way overwhelming, a lot happening. It didn't feel like a 2.5-hour movie. And I'm really glad they're making a third, because I think it would have felt a little too rushed and opposite of The Hobbit.
And we haven't. We've heard snippets and potentials about Dune Messiah, but and so if we think about it, that really wasn't a part of the Dune book. It really, you know, the end of Dune is kind of, you know, where the movie more or less ends, pretty close to it. But yeah, there's definitely more story that needs to be told in regards to, you know, Paul Atreides and everything else. And so we'll see what happens with it. I think for me, it was such a big experience that I have to go see it again. I'm like, I felt exhilarated and exhausted and rushed and just overwhelmed the whole thing when I came out of the theater and, you know, had nothing. There was no distractions. It was one of the best, you know, kind of experiences I've had in a while where there was only another maybe 8 or 10 people in the theater. Everybody was quiet. Everybody kind of let you just do your thing. But it was just a lot. And I was having a hard time remembering in the book how the end of that film represents the book, because mm-hmm. I didn't remember it being quite so cutthroat and Paul being so vicious and like just doing a 180 essentially on just about everybody there.
Yeah.
So that was interesting for me. I wasn't expecting that. And so because it's been so long, I wasn't sure if that was accurate or, you know, some creative license they took with the film. But
I think
so. You said he took a 180. Did he like betray his own people?
Not necessarily, but he definitely changes his tune right at the very end. And when he, you know, they brought the Emperor to Dune and they are basically going to take over with the Fremen, and they're able to do that. And, you know, he literally looks at, is it Jummy? Is that how you say Zendaya's character's name?
Yeah, or, I thought it was Johnny or Shawnee. Johnny, something like that.
And he says, you know, I will always love you. And, you know, and she's like, you know, and I will love you as long as you stay who you are. And then 2 minutes later, he tells the Emperor, and I will marry your daughter and we will rule the galaxy together. And she's just looking at him like, what just happened? And, you know, all of those elements. And it felt a little bit odd. And I wanted to go back and start looking at, okay, when did Frank write this book versus when did George come up with the theme for Star Wars? Because the amount of parallels mm-hmm. that now exist as we see them in all of these, it's like, wait. So
could we call him instead of Atreides, Atreides?
Maybe.
Bad joke alert.
I don't think he betrayed anybody. Joke alert.
No, not really, but he definitely
betrayed. I just wanted
to
make the pun.
You know.
Zendaya's
character. Yeah.
You know, I read the book after the first one came out, and I don't remember that ending, so I think it does bleed into a bit of what Messiah is, and I haven't read that book yet, where Paul basically starts a holy war amongst the major families. But what I liked with some clarity is, you know, Paul was not meant to be a boy. You know, his mom was a Bene Gesserit, and it was tasked with having a female because they had already been grooming one of the best villains. What was his name? Raj Al Ghul? No, it was Roth Harkonnen.
The Nah Baron.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great introduction of a villain. I think that guy is in, he's been in a couple of things. I think he's in Masters of the Air right now. Pretty good actor. I like him. Reminded me of a lot of, not Daredevil. What's the one that's coming out soon? Ryan Reynolds. Deadpool. Kind of like, you know, with the bald head and the big...
A little bit, yeah.
But he was made to be, you know, the Baron and then marrying what Paul's character is and forging, you know, that Emperor, Empress ruling. But
yeah.
Paul challenged that as the Baron's grandson because of, you know... They explained that really well in the movie, how it's all connected and why the Emperor had... the Atreides killed and betrayed and, you know, all the spice and what's purpose. I mean, well-told story if you aren't, like, a big fan of Dune, but the casting's great. The acting's great. That was an incredible twist, which I like because it kind of puts her name was, as, like, we're kind of rooting for her at the end of that film when she walks out. And I don't know. It seems like a long time since we had Dune Part 1, and I don't really want to wait as long for Dune Part 3, but this was a darn good film.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. Have you read Messiah, Scott?
I have not.
I like how they're pulling another book in and not expanding Dune, the novel, into 3 films, but kind of tying in that entire story and doing a little bit of reading after the film. There is some extended universe, you know, to reference what Star Wars calls it, stories that have kind of veered off since this introduction in, what, the 70s or 80s. But go see it in theaters. We didn't get to experience that with the first one, and it was quite the experience.
Yeah. So it, and I'm, you know, trying to do some quick checking while we're recording and everything else, and it says that it, you know, it's not exactly how it changes a little bit differently, and it says, you know, obviously she becomes, you know, the Reverend Mother on Arrakis and some of that stuff, but it kind of mixes that up a little bit and it changes a little bit. And so I think that once you get into Messiah, that's what we're going to, you know, potentially get more of that in. But it was interesting.
Austin Butler is Fade Rautha.
Oh, yeah.
Is his name. And I really like how they introduced, because she'll be a key figure in the next film, part three. Because I guess in the book, Paul's younger sister that his mom's pregnant with is born by this time, but she's not in this storytelling. But they did kind of do a fast forward or something where she's warning Paul, you're not ready for what's about to happen. And she's played by Anya Taylor-Green, I think. Just in that little bit. That's her name, right?
Could be.
Anya Taylor-Green. She's in the new Fury, Mad Max.
Mm. Anya Taylor-Joy.
Taylor-Joy, yes. So I'm excited that she's going to have a pretty big role there in Dune Part 3. But I think the casting's just phenomenal. It's great to see Gurney back, or Josh Brolin as, you know, the big baddie.
Yeah.
Thanos.
Well, and, you know, and going through some of this stuff, it's like there were some changes and they kind of messed with it a little bit. And so it probably doesn't hurt the story a lot, but I think it made it a little bit more complicated for me to process. So,
and how many book readers are like, how dare you change the book?
I'm not, but it was good. All right, stay tuned. We're going to talk about some Oscar winners and Halo when we come back. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. This last week we had Oscars week on Sunday. Oppenheimer cleaned house. Well, 7 Academy Awards. I don't know what the record is.
Yeah, I don't know, but they...
I think one of the Lord of the Rings, the third one, had like 13 or something.
Yeah, I think they definitely... I mean, the fact that you didn't have the best leading actress and the best supporting actress out of Oppenheimer, I think does it... means that it didn't quite clean house, but it definitely did, you know, everywhere else had best actor, best picture, best director, best supporting actor, best score. I mean,
also, it didn't have best part of the movie to go to the bathroom, which Lord of the Rings, Return of the King did, and that was towards the end.
Oh, Lord of the Rings with their false endings of 6 or 7.
Psych! We've got another ending for you.
Oh, that was, I remember that most vividly.
Because you had to pee?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was like, okay, good. Nope, there's still more.
You need one of those Monty Python, like, intermissions in the middle that just kind of fools you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God I have to. No!
Yep.
You know, with I'm not too surprised that they didn't have Best Actress for Oppenheimer, because there wasn't a lot of, you know, a really strong female character in that.
Right.
And I'm glad they didn't intentionally write one and to procure that. I mean, you know, he had his wife and stuff, but it wasn't... I haven't seen Poor Things, but Emma Stone won Best Actress, and Emma Stone's just an incredible...
Yeah. Well, and they won several others. They won for Best Costume Design, Best Production, Best Makeup and Hairstyling. So, I mean, it like, those two films essentially just kind of ran away with the whole thing, so...
Scott, one of yours got Best Visual Effects.
I know.
Godzilla Minus One.
I was super excited to see that. That was pretty awesome. And we were just talking about it. Hopefully we can find some place that it's available on streaming, because it is a really, really good film. And I'm hoping that with Godzilla X Kong coming out at the end of the month, that we will get a couple of good films to watch. And I'm still not quite sure what Kong and Godzilla will be battling. It's another another Motu or another, you know, Apex Predator or something. I don't know.
You just said there's Godzilla X Kong.
Yes, that's
so
the
Godzilla
name of it.
Godzilla multiplied by Kong.
Yeah.
There's also Godzilla minus one. Why are they mapping my Godzilla?
I don't
here?
Know, but they are. And apparently there's a Godzilla minus two coming out. And so what they're...
Count me out. If it's math, I'm done.
Well, I kind of like it because they're doing this early iterations of it. And so the Godzilla minus one is kind of like at the very beginning when mankind becomes aware of Godzilla being in our midst. So,
but this doesn't have anything to do with our current,
no.
You know, Godzilla v. Kong, Godzilla King of the Monsters. It's its own... Is this confusing for fans?
No, I don't think so. I thought it fit really well within kind of the Japanese lore. If you imagine that, you know, we're dealing with the Hollow Earth kind of scenario and Godzilla has been leaving like the surface and going into the Hollow Earth around Japan, it makes perfect sense for him to like show up and leave around in those spaces. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a sighting of Godzilla, and, you know, it happened early in the war to this one, you know, pilot, and then it shows back up again several years later, and he kind of becomes the one that wants to go after and try and fight him. So I thought it was a really good story. And
do they have the Hollow Earth thing in Godzilla Minus One?
They do not. Okay. So it is not a part of it. It is simply you're not getting into the science of it. You're just simply... There's a pilot who kind of, he chickens out. You know, he's a kamikaze pilot, and he chickens out, and he lands on this little island that, you know, he says there's something wrong with his plane, and everybody looks at it, and they can't figure out what it was. And, you know, you figure out that this guy's kind of a, you know, he's a kind of a coward, and he was running away from the fight towards the end of World War II, and then the next thing you know...
Godzilla.
There's Godzilla that shows up on the island and kills almost everybody that was there, except for him and a doctor, and they all escape. And then several years later, you know, they kind of are, you know, recovering after the war. And now all of a sudden there's this new Godzilla sighting and they're going to go after him. And he kind of gets recruited to go in and he brings this other guy with him. So it's a fun movie. It's a good, you know, it's good action, good story, and it's really heartfelt, and you kind of have an opportunity to do it. And it's all subtitled, so it's all in Japanese. Mm. And so they do a great job.
I enjoy subtitles.
Yeah.
I like it when they have English dubs because I don't like doing the reading. I like being lazy and also seeing like how every now and then they get it way wrong.
Oh no, that was my childhood with the original Godzilla.
Oh yeah,
Saturday
such
afternoon.
A nostalgia mm-hmm. for just Godzilla in general and the old Japanese.
Yeah, it was
Godzilla.
Oh! Yeah, it was so much of that. You're sitting there going, and he goes, "Look out, it's Godzilla!" And then the mouth is still moving because it takes some longer to say that.
Oh, that was
so good.
Yeah. Those are the days. Yes. Oh, I can't wait to see. I really hope we get to see it soon on some kind of streaming service. I was even looking on Prime if I could rent it, and I couldn't even do that yet. So I will be patient. I will bide my time. But do you guys think that the big contender they thought with Oppenheimer wasn't Barbie? I'm surprised Barbie didn't win anything from what I saw. But Killers of the Flower Moon, I finally got around to seeing that. It's a long and heavy hard film, Scorsese film. So, you know, you put up two of the best directors with Christopher Nolan and Martin Scorsese, and Killers of the Flower Moon didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised. It wasn't a bad film.
Mm-hmm.
It also wasn't it was a very interesting story that you just don't feel good about at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's not a normal Christopher or Scorsese film like Departed or something mm-hmm. where you have twists and turns. It's just
You don't feel good about that movie either.
Yeah,
no, but it's a little more fictional. Or Killers of the Flower Moon was.
It's just
heavy.
More. Yeah,
just wow.
It's heavy, and I don't know how much of it is true, but I think a lot of it is based off of reality.
I think so too.
Yeah,
that's a challenge. You're like, man, I don't like that.
Yeah, it was a good film, and it's good for people to watch that, and I guess to feel that discomfort.
Mm-hmm. You know, and to quote Monty Python. It's like the Psalms. They're so depressing.
I'm a big fan of Masters of the Air, and coming up on the last couple episodes of that, it's such a good series. Love Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, and always loved World War II and aviation especially. Yeah. But the Bloody 100th, I mean, it was you weren't expected to live or complete your 25 missions. It mm-hmm. was hard. It's heavy. It's not a feel-good series. But I'm reading the book now, and this interesting statistic came up that in World War II – you know, it was Germany versus most of the world for the first couple years of the war. But from 1939 to 1943, the Germans had killed more British civilians than British soldiers. It wasn't until 43 where they had started killing more soldiers in war.
Mm-hmm.
Which it takes me back to it when I was traveling in London years ago when I was in school and chatted with this older gentleman at the bar one night for Pound Pint Night.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had kind of just said, you know, you Americans had 9/11, but you'll never know what it was like over here.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that statistic, 4 years, more civilians had been killed by the Luftwaffe than, your capital bombed every night for months on end.
Mm-hmm. Just people having to go underground.
Yeah. Right after school, you'd go down to the subway, to the tubes, and... oh, harrowing. It's a phenomenal story, though. And the war, it's a good book. And, boy, we kind of screwed up the start. They thought the bombers would be impenetrable. They didn't need long-range fighters until, you know, halfway through the war, and they're losing so many mm-hmm. bombers when their strategic bombing runs.
Yeah. Whew. Just couldn't make it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Band of Brothers, Pacific, Masters of the Year, great stories, incredible representations of that era. But only about one episode at a time.
Yeah.
We can sustain. Boy, well, we'll be back to talk Halo and maybe some other nerdy things that are still going on out there. Nerdians, we'll be back.
Welcome back to the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA Northern Colorado's Voice, coming to you from the Aloe Fiber Studios
in Midtown Greeley.
Beautiful Midtown Greeley. Nick took us down so low. Talking about World War II. Yeah, usually you're the one that kind of gets heavy, and Nick got us really, really heavy. So
Nick
makes the
bad dad jokes.
So we kicked him out of the studio. We said, you can't be here. You've got to leave because we're gonna bring the energy up a little bit. And so
it depends on what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have not seen Halo.
Well, and I have, and I'm currently caught up with it, and it is on Paramount and
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, Paramount Plus. And I will say that I wasn't a big fan of the first season. I thought that they didn't do it well.
And it was boring.
And I have come to accept the fact that they are basing it loosely on the Halo universe as opposed to following it, you know, in exact detail. And so I have tried to just open my mind a little bit more and try and appreciate it. And
does it still suck?
It's okay. It's not great. It's not overwhelming, but they're creating some character depth and some story that I'm actually appreciating and starting to enjoy a little bit more. They were able to introduce in a real capacity Cortana in the last couple episodes. And the most recent
one... That's the artificial intelligence.
Yep. And the most recent one shows that she is really capable and is playing a whole bunch of different angles simultaneously. And so I actually kind of like that. I like the way that it went. And so they ended this episode in probably a great way. So we'll see what happens with it coming up this coming Thursday. So I think it's maybe worth a watch, especially if you're not hard and fast set on the video games. They still have some elements that are take you out of it because the animation and some of the CG stuff just isn't great. And that's disappointing.
Is the acting still wooden?
The acting is still a little bit wooden, but I think what you learn is that with Master Chief and some of the others, it has to be because they're just – they were just literally bred to be soldiers. And
well, yeah, that I understand, but it's just overall, yeah. Everybody's just...
Yeah, they're a little bit better this
Except
time around.
Except for his old friend.
Yeah.
His old friend was a
yeah,
good
actor. Yeah, Soren is still good. We see some elements that come up and some things that are going on there in the last couple episodes that are interesting. What I find fascinating right now is the political intrigue, because there's elements, and they still stay somewhat true to the Fall of Reach, which was one of the books in the series. And basically, the UNSC and ONI realize that there's no way they can win this war. And they certainly can't win the battle for the planet Reach. And so they choose to let it fall. But in the show, they try and abandon Master Chief and the rest of Silver Team, with the exception of Kai, in order to give humanity something to hope for. And so they're literally trying to turn him into a martyr. And so they intentionally leave him to die on this planet. And he doesn't die. They are able to get off. And it's Soren's wife who saves him. But it's like you're seeing how the political part of this is becoming much more relevant and prevalent in this. And so some of the inter-politics and things of that nature are making it a much more interesting show than it has been for the last season and a half almost. So I'm actually appreciating and enjoying that more than I thought I would, because you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, they literally hung him out to dry and left him to die, hoping that he would die, and they literally already have propaganda by the time he gets to the next place is like, don't let him have died in vain. We will fight on for him. And they're literally using him as a martyr to try and motivate the human species to try and fight against this overwhelming superior force.
So if the first season was a 4 and this season is better, what would you call it?
You know, I would probably give it a 6 or a 7. I'm not sure
okay.
that it's...
So it's a little step up.
Oh, it's definitely a step up, and they have started to do a better job with creating a good episodic, you know, arc, so that you kind of are going from one story to the next, one episode to the next, where they kind of get some stuff cleaned up, they get some stuff identified.
Do they explain the magic stuff at all, or the magic tokens where he touches it and sees
a bunch
of stuff?
But what we are recognizing is that those are key elements that the Forerunners left, and basically it's the way to get to the Halo. And so that's where everybody wants to go. And the Halo from the original series has the power either to create life or to destroy life. And that's where the Covenant... There is political issues on the Covenant side, where it is believed that the Covenant is wanting to get that, and then they are going to destroy all life in the universe, where it could be used to save life. And that was what they're doing. So now you've got, you know, Master Chief, who is working towards trying to find and get to this spot, and Cortana is trying to help him get there. So
that is very... interesting. I don't know if I am going to start watching it. I started going back and watching Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Because I needed something to watch. I couldn't think of anything. And
sure.
So I just, oh, you know what?
But Resident Alien has still been going on, and that's phenomenal.
What was that show that you suggested? The movie. I keep, something 8. It's on Netflix. Code 8.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I did watch Code 8 Parts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And they are okay.
Okay.
They're all right.
Mm-hmm.
They're not... The first one's definitely way better than the second one, but I think if you want something that'll kill some time for 90 minutes, they're not a bad watch.
That's good.
I think kind of... some interesting political intrigue. So the story behind it is there are people with mutant-like powers.
Yep.
Like
mm-hmm.
some people have the ability to lift, and some people have the ability to create fire, and some people can, you know, use electricity. But they've been discriminated against because of this power. And now the police have these big robots who can fight against these people. And it's a story basically about racism.
Yeah.
And I think it makes its point. Sometimes it's a little over the top, but it kind of reminds me of a more – kind of reminds me of Alien Nation, if anyone ever saw that. But not as good. And Alien Nation did you ever see the movie?
Yeah.
I loved the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The movie could have been better. It suffered a lot from being made in the late 80s, early 90s. Suffered from a lot of tropes, but it was actually pretty good. Probably better than this. This just had a lot of a lot more money going behind it. So I think it's worth a watch. It's not great. It's good. It's good. It's in the sevens.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm glad you recommended it. I almost watched the second one first, and then I noticed that it said part two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like.
We were like, wait, no.
Part two.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And so I searched for part one.
Good.
First one, definitely better than the second one. Second one, not awful, but, you know, it's worth the watch.
Lots of options.
Yeah. There's so many options nowadays.
There certainly are. And more are coming all the time. We've got, you know, we've got The Boys coming out here in a few months. And
that's true.
That'll be good.
We have Generation. Is Generation V making a second season?
I don't know if Gen V was doing a second one. I kind of hope not. I think it would be better just to go in with The Boys. But final thing, how fun was it that you had Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito do a presentation and call out the fact that they were presenting together because they both tried to kill Batman? And they were kind of riffing on Michael Keaton as Batman in the audience right there. That was a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, go check out that little snippet. It's a fun thing and, you know, just a good time to see those guys do that. And they were both, you know, reminiscing about their time as villains in the Michael Keaton Batman area. So it was good.
And as men in commercials.
Yes. Yeah, they seem to be taking their twins thing to the next level. So, a resurgence. So, good stuff. Well, thanks for hanging with us. Make sure you check us out online, and we'll see you next week. And Nerdians, you stay nerdy.